It's here and now. I'm feeling rough, I'm feeling wrong in the time of my life. That is the well-known 2008 song Time to Pretend from the band MGMT. The band members were just college kids when they wrote the song, which is about what it would be like to be famous. Well, they did become famous. They won a Grammy, they played with Paul McCartney, but their second album didn't go over as well, so they decided to take some time off. Well, now they are out with their third album, and they're here to share it with us, Ben Goldwasser and Andrew Van Weingarten. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks.
Well, tell us what you're trying to do with this new album. It's been a while since you guys have come out with an album.
Yeah, well, we took about a year off from really touring or writing, and then used our rejuvenated spirits to kind of go into the studio, and through improvisation, we recorded an album. And we didn't really have like a goal. We kind of just wanted it to be a pure representation of working in the studio and being in the moment and that kind of thing.
And sometimes hours and hours of improvisation, right?
Yeah, we wanted to get to the point where we weren't overanalyzing what we were doing. And that was the best way to do it, was just to play for long enough that we kind of forgot what we were doing. And then it kind of seemed like the music was coming out of thin air.
What's the best example of one of the songs on the new album that benefited from all of the improvisation?
A Good Sadness. Most of the song came kind of fully formed out of an improvised section of music. Originally it was like 20 or 30 minutes. But in general, the structure of it and the kind of the main sounds that are going on, that's how they were played live.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of that. Of course, a lot of people know you from your first album. How was the process different for this one than that?
The first album, it was all pretty new to us. We just signed to Columbia, to a major label, and we went in to write songs to go along with three songs that we had already written in college, Kids, Time to Pretend, and Electric Feel. So we found like a little dance studio in an industrial part of Williamsburg, and the songs pretty much all have a lot of tracks that we recorded ourselves in kind of like a lo-fi way, unintentionally at least. So this new one was way different, since we recorded everything, you know, over the course of a year, and it didn't go in the studio with any songs already written.
And as you were doing this, did you feel pressure from fans who wanted to hear that early stuff, Electric Feel, as you said, Kids? They wanted that sound.
I mean, in some ways, it's a tough relationship, because on the one hand, we're really grateful for the fans we have. But at the same time, we've seen how opinions can change. I feel like we have kind of a mutual respect between us and our fans, where they trust us when we want to do something different, and they're patient with us. And those are the fans that we really want to keep around.
But there are some fans that have not been patient with you. You were booed at a concert in London when you didn't play Kids.
When was that?
2010.
Did you read in the NME?
Is it wrong? Did that not happen?
Well, I mean, lots of things were weird in 2010. I think, you know, that was right after our second album came out, and definitely it was a shock to some people who only knew us for a couple songs, like you were saying. And so Ben and I got a little bit of enjoyment out of going on stage and playing these long psychedelic suite style songs and denying people what they really wanted. You know, I think at that point, the scales were a little bit tipped towards giving the people what they didn't want. And now we've come back and kind of found a good balance, where the live show has songs from all three albums, and I think it's really working well.
I don't want to make it sound like we didn't care about giving people a good show, though. And I think that touring for the last album, the music press was kind of sensationalizing how we'd completely abandoned any sort of pop music structures or things like that. And in reality, the shows were really great and most people enjoyed them. And you know, it wasn't as black and white as it was made out to be by some people.
Well, let's take a listen to one of the songs on your new album. This is called Alien Days.
A couple hours to learn the controls and commandeer both my eyes. Hey, 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 hey. Great gear, times are uncertain. 1 month crawling, next year blurring. Monograms on the brain. Decide what's working and what's moved on to the last phase. The floodgate alien days. I love those alien days. The alien days.
There is a spacey sound to that, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. It definitely had references with the drums and maybe the harpsichord, a little bit of like glam or space rock from the 70s.
But I do want to ask you about the titles of some of the songs, because if you look at your earlier songs, you've got The Youth, Electric Feel, Kids, and then the titles of these ones, Mystery Disease, A Good Sadness, I Love You to Death. People might ask, are you getting older and bitter?
No. You're asking about songs that we wrote when we were 19 and songs that we wrote when we were 30. And obviously, we've had a lot more life experiences. We've had the experiences with our band, which are pretty surreal and bizarre at times in their own right. And maybe on the second album, there was like a little vein of bitterness, kind of confusion as to what had just happened. And the new song titles, I think, are just trying to be a little bit more real and open and honest. And just for us both, there happened to be moments of melancholy or confusion still, and just wondering why things happen.
I think in a lot of ways the new music is, for us, it's the most positive music we've ever made, because it's coming from a really honest place and we're not really trying to hide from anything or escape. And our old music, even though, I mean, a lot of the lyrics were really idealistic, in a way for us it feels like more of a positive thing to write songs about how life is not always easy and there are some bad things happening in the world right now, and confronting that and recognizing that everyone's thinking about that right now.
Ben Goldwasser and Andrew Van Weingarten from the band MGMT. We'll be back with them in a moment. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Let's get back to our conversation with Ben Goldwasser and Andrew Van Weingarten from the band MGMT. They are best known for songs like this one, Electric Feel, from their first album. Well, with their new album, MGMT continues to turn away from that poppier sound to a sound that's a bit darker. That is Cool Song number 2 from their new album, which the New York Times calls both testing and eventually rewarding. And I want to ask you, Andrew Van Weingarten, when I spoke with John Gourley from the band Portugal the Man recently, he was talking about the difficulty of writing songs that are short, that it's a lot easier to write longer songs. And I noticed that Your Life is a Lie from your new album is only a couple minutes long. Is it difficult to write a song like that?
No, I think we wrote that song in like 2 minutes. I think that's one of the things I like about our new album, is that there's a lot of different styles and methods that went into the making of the songs. Like we said before, we have a song like A Good Sadness that's coming from improvisation, and then Plenty of Girls in the Sea, which is, we were trying to write almost like a standard or something, you know, we were like thinking about music from the 20s and wanted it to be kind of like a novelty song. That's what I'm looking for. I don't know, we're just kind of having fun in the studio. Ben and I really love working and writing in the studio and producing, and, you know, we did have a good break before starting on this third album, and now we're both in the mindset of really wanting to make more music more often, so hopefully that'll happen.
So that break is important. It's nice to take a little bit of time off.
It was at that time we were feeling a little burnt out and disconnected after not having really taken much of a break between touring for the first album and the second album, and recording the second album. It had a direct effect on just our attitudes and the music that we were making. And sometimes it can be a little annoying when musicians write too much about being musicians and not enough about other things. And I feel like we were kind of going into that territory.
You got to get in touch with the outside world.
Or the inside world.
Yeah, or everyday life in general.
Who has influenced you in the last year or so? People that you've been listening to that maybe you weren't listening to when you were doing your earlier albums?
Well, I mean, it's different for the two of us, but I think maybe we kind of went in opposite directions. But for me personally, compared to what I was listening to on the second album, which was a lot more psychedelic rock and folk from the late 60s and 70s, for the new album, I definitely started getting into music, I guess, that you would call electronic music and dance music. It was kind of a new universe for me to explore. And I definitely moved away from rock and roll a little bit and got a little bit tired of rock and roll attitude. It sounds like a child behaving badly. I'm tired of your attitude.
Well, what is, let me ask both of you this question. What is your favorite song on the album? We can start with you, Ben.
I think my favorite would be Astromancy. I have a really good memory of recording it, and we kind of did a live mix of the song, which is mostly how it ended up on the album version, where Andrew and I were both sitting at the mixing board, and we each had our own half of the board to be in control of, and we would just fade certain parts up when we felt like it was appropriate, and it has this really cool organic feeling to it. Also, when we were in Chicago, it came on in a Starbucks, and I thought that was really cool. Hmm.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
You still get excited when you hear it in a Starbucks?
Corporate bastards.
What about you, Andrew? Favorite song on the album?
My favorite song on the album is probably the last one, An Orphan of Fortune. I just like the emotion in the last one, and I think it's a nice closer on the album. I was really satisfied with how it ended the whole thing, tied everything up.
Twilight. as you're writing these songs, of course, you have to think about what they're going to sound like, but you also have to think about the video that's going to go along with them these days. How does that process work? When do you start to think about what the video is going to be?
I think, well, we do get a lot of imagery just in our heads when we're writing, and I think that that did translate in a lot of ways to the videos that we've put out.
Well, I'm thinking of the video for Your Life is a Lie with some people kicking a bucket on the ground when a cowbell is hit every time.
Yeah. The original idea for the video was that it would be like a whack-a-mole game. Hmm. And like,
well, just something to emphasize those cowbell hits. It just felt like, you know, a giant whack-a-mole baton thing hitting people that were walking down the street would be funny. But I'm really happy with the way the video turned out. I think it fits the song really well. Just the kind of, I don't know, the song definitely has a tongue-in-cheek element to the structure and obviously the lyrics. So I think it fit really well. Carry your wife, this is your life. Your life is a lie, this is your wife. Now she knows, she understands. Her life is a lie, nobody wins. Try not to cry, you will survive.
Well, Ben Goldwasser and Andrew Van Weingarten of the band MGMT, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having
you.
And Robin, I cannot let this moment go by
sure.
without mentioning that I know Ben's grandparents very well, Ned and Lizzie Goldwasser. They're great family friends from Champaign, Urbana. They have been married for 72 years. They just celebrated their 72nd anniversary.
Well, I'm sure they're thinking right now, you know, we thought our kid was doing well, but now he's really made it.
Their grandson is
he's been on
doing
Jeremy's
very
show.
Well. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now. Who knows it's all right to live a life waiting to die, not knowing that your life is a lie, wondering why nobody writes, hollow inside, bitter delight, fire and ice, your life is a lie. Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with Amy Silman, a 25-year retrospective of the artist's vivid abstract paintings and intimate drawings, ICABoston.org.